Okay. Let's have the PowerPoint up. Through this year, we've been thinking about the Jesus we never knew. And of course, behind that is the real understanding that there is so much more we have yet to know about Jesus. In fact, I'd say that the aim for this year and for this theme is that for each of us individually, and also for us together as a people, a community, a family, is to become better friends with Jesus. It's not bad, is it? To become better friends with Jesus. And that is the real Jesus, not the Jesus of sentiment or other people's invention. There is a need, as we know, to know the historic Jesus, the facts about Jesus as a historical figure, but also to know Jesus experientially, to know Jesus in my day-to-day experience, to have a relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're saying to the world. You too can be chosen. You too can be a friend of Jesus. You too can have complete joy in knowing Jesus. And you can know God, Father God, and Holy Spirit through Jesus, because God is one, God is family. Through Jesus, these simple truths which we need each day to get us through the struggle and the pain of life, we enter into a relationship with the living God. We're enabled to worship and to enjoy God and to serve God. I'm very grateful to Jeff, more than I can ever say, for opening up some of the parables about King Jesus. And this is all linked into it through August. So today we are going to think about three simple things that are all linked. We're thinking about to know, to love, and to follow Jesus, and those are woven together. And we're going to start with this significant claim of Jesus. People came to Jesus with all sorts of questions. They recognized his moral authority and his power. But some came asking questions like the rich young ruler, this successful young guy, how they might gain eternal life, how they might have that quality of life which is markedly different from what we ordinarily experience. And it seems to me, and John's writings are so helpful, he wrote about love with passion because he was loved by Jesus and he loved Jesus so much. So the Gospels and the Epistles are really all about love and light and loving one another. And in John 17, Jesus gives a clear and specific answer to what eternal life is. And he's talking to the Father. He looks up to heaven and it's recorded what he's saying. He says, eternal life means knowing you, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, who you sent. It's to do with knowing. It's to do with relationship. And that is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. It's to do with knowing the Father God and Jesus Christ, who is sent. All that through the grace, the work of the Holy Spirit. And this eternal life is entered into now. Now or never. Because it begins now. The relationship begins now. And it is the most significant thing that you and I have in the whole of our existence. It's the most significant thing, this relationship. It starts now. It's about relationship with the Father God, with Jesus the Son. It is not just about doing religious things. It is not just about serving others, important as these may be and may flow out of that relationship with God. But it's about the relationship out of which many things will spring as fruits in the relationship. And we've talked about that. All of the fruits, not just those key ones that are listed in Galatians, but the fruits that will come from our lives, the fruits of good works and service, life-changing service, our jobs, our careers, our vocations, our ministries should all flow out of that relationship, our relationship with God, and they will be qualitatively different, therefore. Many people will have great actions and great religious actions, but we say this springs out of our relationship with the Father and with the Son. So it is not enough to simply know the facts about Jesus. It's just not enough. You could pass all the exams under the sun, you could have read thousands of books about Jesus, but that is not enough. We do need those facts, but they will never satisfy the human heart. And we are alone until we have relationship with God through Jesus. It is about choosing to respond to Jesus, to receive him and actively believe in him. As John says, many people heard Jesus, but not all received him, not all believed in him, not all asked him to take control of their lives, not all submitted to his authority and said they would follow him. Jesus came in such a way into the world, a son of man, a fully human, that we can approach God through him. How else could we approach God? In unattainable light? The God who wraps himself in light? God has made himself known because God wants us to be his friends. Let's be renewed this September. Let's not start with any other hope other than that God wants us for his friends, and that he has got great things for us in the days ahead. Whatever the struggle or the agony or the pain we're facing, whatever the difficulties in those we can come closer to God rather than further apart. Jesus is truly, truly the way and the way to fullness of life. It's a simple prayer. Perhaps you want to pray it even at the end of this or through this week. I spent a week praying this prayer with many, many other people, that I may, with God's grace, come to know Jesus deeply and intimately, and so love him and be enabled to follow him. And it's the prayer that God's waiting to respond to. And even if you feel you don't know if Jesus is alive or is the one that is described by Christians, here's something we can pray and see what happens. The passage that we read is a passage that starts with Jesus saying, "I'm the vine, you are the branches." And it's describing a relationship between something that comes up from a root and sprouts. It's an amazing description. For hundreds of years, thousands of years, God's people have been known as the vine. And for hundreds of years, that relationship between God and his people has disappointed God. It has always disappointed God. The fruit of lives lived in selfishness and rebellion is sour fruit, not sweet fruit. And all the way through, God talks about that, the disappointment. Injustices are not corrected. Human choices take people further away from God rather than closer to relationship with God. And then every so often there's a move of God's Spirit and people come back to God closely, and there's that great joy of intimacy and friendship again. God's plan, though, is not to withdraw. I thought about that as well. What would happen if God withdrew from the world? If God withdrew and left us to our own devices, to the fruit of our own choices, even though as a human race we often prefer darkness to light, even with all the wonderful things that get exhibited in health services and care systems and so on. But God has not chosen to do that. To know, to love, to follow. To know Jesus deeply and intimately. That is how God wants to know us. That is why Jesus came. So through the whole of Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, relationship with God is described in the deepest and closest of terms. It's not described just as a hierarchical figure of God with all power, with minions sent to do his bidding. Even in the Old Testament, that is not the description. It's described in deep and intimate terms. God is described as family, as father. God is described as lover and husband, and Jesus as brother and friend. These intimate descriptions of a quality of relationship that we all crave, even through our own families and friendships, but which are found in purity in our relationship with God. The very first commandment is to love God with every part of ourselves, and that means every part of ourselves. And to love God more than anything else in the whole universe. God loves us because he loves us, as Henry would tell us if he was here, from Deuteronomy 7:7. And whatever we do, God loves us. Whether we choose not to know him and to live in our own strength, whether we choose to actively do that which displeases God, God still loves us. He's amazing. Your love is amazing. Who else loves like that? But we mustn't take it for granted. With his disciples, his followers, Jesus developed a deep and intimate friendship, which was why the betrayal and the denial of that friendship was so painful to him during his passion and his death. Because he calls us to be his friends. Every one of us, without exception, he's calling to be his friends. And this is something we need to find time to stop and to meditate upon and to talk friend to friend, even face to face with Jesus about. This is more important than any other relationship. And we need to hear the Lord saying to us, I love you. I love you. We need to find this time. There is not a person in this room that doesn't. In all of our daily struggles, and their struggles with which God is with us in, our relationship with Jesus needs to be our consolation, because there are many, many desolations in the world. Our inner strength, our relationship with Jesus is something we need to relish in these dark days of our world, when the planet itself is groaning, protesting not just against what we've done to it, but waiting for the children of God to come into their own, waiting for the return of Jesus. And this friendship with God through salvation in Jesus is a gift. It cannot be earned. You can read about that in Ephesians 2, about the grace of God and the need for faith. But God has also prepared a life for us where many fruits and good works will flow out of that relationship. But it is an absolute gift. And the way this church, one thing I appreciate about it, takes time to thank God and to give testimony is so important. Because every time we thank God, it is speaking the truth against the lies that God doesn't care. And it is the truth. If you start to thank God for your creation and your growth, and it is endless. To know Jesus and to love Jesus. God took the initiative. It wasn't me, it wasn't you. God is love. In the passage that was read to us in verse 9 from John 15, Jesus says, I love you. You can go home, lie in your bed, sit on a cushion. You can play your guitar, you can do a jog of work, but take time to hear that. I love you. And make sure you put your name on it, because he knows you by name. I love you. Now, you may doubt that, and you can say to God, I'm not sure I believe that. But that is what he's saying. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. He says in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And God chose us not because we are special, because we're bigger than others, or wealthier than others, or cleverer than others, but because he loves us. And as Liz is fond of saying to me, quoting Jackie Pullinger, you too can be chosen. You did not choose me, I chose you. God went out of his way. How do I know that? Because of Jesus. God went out of his way. And this is what we celebrate as we break bread, to love me and to love you. And this is the message that we share with our friends, whether they will hear it or not. Let's pray in ways that we graciously say it, that they do hear. I pray that we may hear him say this. I pray that we may ask for that grace to know Jesus more deeply, more intimately, to love him, to follow him. God loved me before I loved God. John said it in the epistle, we love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. And it is him speaking to our hearts at this point, as well as to our minds. We love because God first loved us. And God loved me while I was still in sin and his enemy, when I still followed my path or listened to the evil one. God loves me. And I say it again, I love you. I love you, says Jesus. And then he says, with true friendship, love is shown by the willingness to actually give your life, to lay down your life. And we know that is what Jesus did. That is what we remember at this meal, that he went through his passion, his suffering, and his death. He laid down his life. And he calls you and me to be willing to die in small part every day. And that God will bless my dyings with his living and with his love. To know Jesus deeply and intimately, to love Jesus, he has taken the initiative and is waiting for our response, and to follow Jesus. There's three key things. And in order to follow Jesus, we have to spend time with Jesus. Is that such a big ask? But it's everything that will crowd it out. Not just the evil one, but other things that are less important than Jesus, but are important. We must spend time with Jesus in order to follow him, by getting to know him in a deepening way and learning what God really desires, so that we may please God. This is about relationship. This is about pleasing God, so that we may act more justly, so that we may love mercy, so that we may walk humbly with God, getting to know what really pleases God. We know that following Jesus means learning to be fully human, to live authentically, to be true, to be fully human. Jesus, the only completely whole, true human being, and he's calling us to follow. In this passage about the vine, the branches in relationship, remaining together is the absolute essential. And if we are separate from Jesus, there will be no fruit. We will die. The relationship will die. It can be reinvigorated, but it's very hard to do resurrections. But the Spirit does resurrections in relationships constantly. We are his friends. And he calls us to remain. And he said the remaining is to do with pleasing him, with obeying him, choosing to give his desires precedence over my own desires, my own selfish desires. We need his grace. We need the grace of the Holy Spirit to do that. You know, we have lots of subhuman inclinations, you and I, don't we? If someone has wronged me and hurt me, my subhuman inclination is to hold on to that and even to hurt back. But it's Jesus' desire that we forgive those who trespass against us. In fact, he says we won't really experience his forgiveness unless we forgive others. We will be so locked in our inner knots and psychological knots that we will not experience the fruits of forgiveness, which is joy. Jesus was not tripped up by wealth and honour or status and pride as we are. And if we follow him, he can slowly enable us to choose his way. As we break bread, I remind you just of the simple prayer. It's on slide 2. I don't know if you can ping back for us. Praying that I may, with God's grace, the help of God's Spirit, come to know Jesus more deeply and intimately, and so love him and be enabled to follow him. This is the heart. This is the heart-to-heart embracing. Every song we've sung has been talking about this, and I've sung all of those songs in silence or out in the fields. I didn't choose them, only one I asked, which we're going to use in communion. This is what the Lord says: you're my friends. I love you. Remain in my love, and you will bear fruit. And one of the biggest fruits is your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete. When you meet him face to face, you'll have already met him face to face in this life and learnt to look into his eyes without shame because of what he's done. Let's be still. Let's just be still. We'll leave that prayer up. If you pray that in the silence, that's fine. It's just a moment of sacrifice, of time to be with him.